Let's pray together. Father, we come before you trembling at your word, knowing that your word is what changes lives, it's what renews us, and it's what your spirit uses to conform us to the image of Christ. So, Lord, as we come before your word, that we do with expectancy and with a hope that you use it to make us more like Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In a clever movie that I've seen recently, it was released in 2015. It's the story of the inside of a young lady named Riley's head. And inside of her are emotions such as disgust, sadness, anger, fear, and of course, joy. And if you've ever seen the movie Inside Out, the cartoon movie, because that's what I watch these days, Inside Out, you would have followed the emotions of this young woman as she grows and experiences some turmoil in life and how things go with life. She has different responses in different situations. But one of the things that I find interesting about the movie, which is certainly not biblical, was I think they got one thing right. One thing right. Joy was the ringleader of all the emotions. Joy. Joy was the leader. She was the one that drew everyone together. She was the one that carried on. And when the going got tough, the joy was there to endure. I'll say that again. Joy was there to endure the path. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. Today we celebrate ladies. And so ladies, I'm specifically speaking to you. No matter where you are in your life as a lady, wherever God has called you at this moment, my message this morning for you is to endure with joy. And we'll find that that is a biblical principle, not just something we find in a movie. And what you will find is so many things in our culture that just happen to be right are because they happen to be right because they're biblical principles. So here it is, ladies. Endure with joy today. Endure with joy. I'm not a woman. No matter what I say I am, I'm not a woman. I'm a man. And I can understand completely, ladies, what you are going through. And we as men cannot understand what you're going through. But what we can do is say, we know it's tough. Because we see it on your face so often. The emotions that you may be going through. And I want to call you from God's word to say, endure with joy. Let's get into God's word today. Are you ready, ladies? We're going to be looking at the entire book of Ruth this morning. The message will probably be an hour and a half, so get ready. But we will begin in Ruth chapter 1 this morning. So if you have your Bibles and you're ready, would you say amen? Amen. All right, let's get into the word. In the last days, when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judea, in Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. I'll give you a little background on this. Naomi is a Hebrew word, and it means pleasant or delight. Pleasant or delight. And what we read just within the first five books, verses of this book, is something that doesn't seem very pleasant, and it doesn't seem very delightful. And that may be something you can relate to. It may be something that this world can relate to, that sometimes in life, things do not go as planned, And I'm sure as Naomi was being named, her parents in hopes of her having a delightful and pleasant life, well, we come to this turn in Naomi's life that is tough for her. She loses her husband, and in this culture, we must understand that the family unit was of utmost importance. The Jews didn't sell land and buy land like we do. They had plots of land, and they had a man who was basically mainly the caregiver for that land. And in this case, well, there was a famine in the land and they weren't growing, so they went to find somewhere where they could grow things. They happened to go into enemy territory, into the land of the Moabites, and they found some ladies from behind enemy lines, if you will. And while they're there, both her husband and her two sons die, and she is left a widow. And in this culture, that was a very difficult thing to do. Not only that, she's left with two foreign daughters who have no real ties to her. So pleasant or delightful does not seem to really distinguish her life at this point. It's a hard road at this point for Ruth, and I believe, ladies, that in life, all of you will face a hard road at some place, at some point. There will be things that you just don't understand. There will be things that you wish hadn't happened that did. There will be things you don't understand how they happened because you planned against them and they did. There will be unexpected deaths. There will be unexpected illnesses. There will be unexpected relationships that go sour, and there will be people who do things to you that you never thought that person would do that thing. And how could that happen? There will be betrayal. There will be hopelessness, there will be discouragement, and I'm not trying to rain on your parade today, but I do hope to say that this life, this world, is a world that is fallen in sin. What I will also tell you is this, in all reality, so young ladies, y'all can listen up as well. Even though there are challenges and difficulties in a woman's life, there will be many, many seeking to fix your problems. It may be a man who thinks he can make you happy again by buying you flowers or fixing that problem around the house. There will be better tasting drinks for you to drink. There will be potions and serums to make you look younger and more beautiful. There will be easier cooking devices and gadgets, and there will be computers to help make your life easier in each and every way. All you have to do is say, "Hey, Alexa, what's this, what's that, and what's another?" There will always be something new and improved to help your life, ladies. But I want to tell you, once again, endure with joy. And do not buy into the simple solutions that promise to make you better. Endure with joy. And that is the honest biblical word that I can give to you, because things in life are not always going to be easy, but God has called us to endure with joy. Many of you ladies have had the opportunity to give birth to a child. From what I understand, it's not a very pleasant experience, but holding that child in the moments after birth is a joy that washes away much of that pain. And enjoying children and those relationships that you have is a joy most of the time. And when they're not, ladies, endure with joy. Because that is what the scripture calls us to. In Romans chapter 5, Paul gives us this passage to help us, ladies, to help you endure with joy. And I'd like to read it to you. Romans chapter 5, beginning of verse 3. "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." He begins that sufferings are endured with joy, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and that endurance produces character. It is the Lord's building you through this process of suffering and hurting and abandonment. The Lord is shaping you and chiseling you and forming you into the model of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, ladies, I want to encourage you to endure with joy because God is forming you and making you more like Christ through your suffering. And I know that oftentimes it may not seem that you're being more like Jesus when you suffer. It is a tool that the Lord uses to draw you to His Son. Verse 4 says this, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Christian ladies, let me give you this great truth. The easy fixes are not going to fix you. Christian ladies, the world is trying to fix ladies all over this planet, but the easy fixes will not fix you. It is only the Spirit of God that has been poured into your heart that can fix you. I have to say that again. Alexa can't fix you. The makeup can't fix you, and the diet can't fix you, and having the perfect kids can't fix you. Only the Spirit of God can fix you. And He has been poured into our hearts to fix us. That is God's antidote. That is His antidote to fix us. He is the Spirit of God, not making things around us better, but making us better from the inside out. Ladies, I know many of us struggle with what if, or if only this were different, if only that were different. If only my situation were different, or if I were like her, if only he were like him, if only they were like them, if only. And you can fill in the blank, and all of those things might make it better to a point, but they cannot fix you. The Spirit of God will fix you. Because that's what He does. He takes broken and He makes right. Because He makes you like Jesus. Ladies, cry out to God to fix you. Do not cry out to Amazon to fix you. Cry out to the Spirit of God. Father, I'm broken. Fix me. Please fix me. Do not be a product of American culture that has 1,001 fixes for you. Cry out on your knees in prayer to Jesus. And if you have not been doing so, why not? Is it because we believe Amazon can do a better job fixing us? May it never be. The Spirit of God is the one who fixes us. Endure with joy. And be on your knees crying out to God, "Oh Father, fix me." Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law and returned to the country of Moab, did Naomi. For she had heard that in the fields of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people and given them food back to Israel. So she set out from this place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi, pleasant one, said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband for you. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night, and he should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter or Mara. It is exceedingly bitter to me that for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Go be like her. Go return. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Here's Naomi facing a hard situation. It's time to go home, and I have these ladies who I've lived with and done life with and grown to love and know. And Naomi genuinely wants the best for them. She wants them to continue on with their lives, to find husbands, new husbands, to live life and do what is good. She's a godly woman who is sacrificing once again for those who she's with. And church, I'll have to say it this way. Naomi loved her daughters-in-law. And how do we know? Because we know the definition of love, don't we? We've talked about it the last couple weeks. Love is wanting the best for someone and doing something about it. And right here, we see love. Look, ladies, don't come and suffer with me. Go and find your pleasure elsewhere. Don't suffer with me. But Ruth, one of the foreigners, one of the Moabitess ladies, said, "I am going to endure with joy with you." And sacrifices. And in her choice, she demonstrates that she, in like fashion, loves her mother-in-law. "I want the best for you, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm coming with you. I'm coming to be a part with you, and I will go to death with you. And I'm making a vow before the Lord." And that's what she does. You see, here's what happens oftentimes, ladies, and don't miss this. Many times when we have to endure with joy, they are opportunities for great things to happen. Because see, Naomi never would have known the depth of love that Ruth had for her had not this situation arisen and had not she been given the opportunity to flee, to go and to please herself. And yet the demonstration of Ruth's love came only because of the suffering that she endured. So ladies, may I encourage you. You may be suffering, you may be hurting, and you may be enduring something. I want to encourage you once again to endure with joy. Because sometimes great things can happen during your endurance. Down to verse 19. By the way, does that remind you of any other love that you've seen, this willing to sacrifice and give themselves unto death? Does that remind you of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to sacrifice himself and forego the throne room, the glorious throne room and the worship of his angels, to come down to bear sin on a cross because he loved us? This is the love of our Lord and Savior. And your plight, my plight, men, our plight, has been resolved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ruth chapter 1 verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" "Is this the pleasant one?" She said to them, "Do not call me pleasant. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Do not call me pleasant, call me bitter, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me pleasant when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty brought calamity upon me?" And I state again that oftentimes bitterness is not quickly fixed. Sometimes the road is long. Sometimes the road is tiresome. Sometimes you want to change your name too. Sometimes you want to change your name to depressed or overworked, undervalued, despised, deficient, sad. Sometimes you just want to transfer that bitterness and let somebody else feel a little bit of it. Then we lash out at others, or we seek to injure others. Sometimes you just want to be alone. But may I remind you to endure with joy, ladies. Endure with joy because it's biblical. Romans 5, endurance. And let me give you one other passage to cling to this morning. It's Hebrews 12, joy. Find Romans 5, endurance, and Hebrews 12, joy. Let me read Hebrews chapter 12 for you. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured." Ladies, why do we endure with joy? Because that's what Jesus did. Christian ladies, hear me and hear me and hear me. We endure with joy because that's what Jesus did. He endured the cross in joy, despising the shame. He hating the shame that went with it. And now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We talked about it in our Sunday school class, didn't we, this morning? He's on the throne. There he is, seated at the throne. Because he endured with joy. Ladies, let me encourage you that one day you will be at the throne too. You will be either praising the name of Jesus or despising the name of Jesus, but you will be there, being judged by the rightful King. And Christian ladies, when we endure with joy, we will meet the throne and say, "It was nothing. What I did, nothing compared to your work on the cross, Jesus. It was nothing." Amen. And so, ladies, I do not mean to belittle anything that you're going through, but may I say, in light of Jesus, it is nothing. And I say that with no disrespect, but with the utmost respect for our Lord Jesus Christ. He endured the cross, not just physical pain, but the wrath of the Father upon him. May I remind you, ladies, as you do endure, that the road that you are walking down and the road you are traveling down is not void of God's sovereign hand. So this has to help you, Christian lady. The road that you endure is not void of God's sovereign hand. Meaning, his hand is upon every turn, corner, nook, cranny, and breath that you take. And you can see it here in the book of Ruth in chapter 2. Watch this. "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go into the field and glean from among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went along and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And watch what the scripture says. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And this is where the story changes from gloom to glory. It just so happens that God's sovereign hand led Ruth right where she needed to be to provide for her family and to continue in the lineage of David to bring about the Savior, Jesus Christ. It just so happened, says the scripture. But what does the scripture mean? It means that God's hand moved greatly. Apart from what Ruth wanted, apart from what Naomi wanted, God's hand moved. And so, ladies, endure with joy because God's hand moves. And you can't make it move. He moves. So let's watch what happens. Chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, because the hand of God moved. And as John read this morning, "And he went into her, and the Lord gave conception, and she bore a son. And the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer.'" Ladies, I want to say those words and understand that in the original context, that was speaking directly of Boaz. But ladies, I want to speak to you in the greater context of who Boaz represented. And I want to share with you very clearly that the great Redeemer is our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me read this over you, ladies. Remember this, hang it on your wall so that you see it every day. "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a Redeemer. Jesus Christ, your Lord." You have been redeemed, Christian. You have been brought into the family. You have been grafted into the family of God, and you have been redeemed from your plight. Endure with joy because you have a great Redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel. May his name be renowned in his people. Blessed be the Lord. Verse 15, "He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you." There it is. "Who is more to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to the pleasant one." A son has been born to the pleasant one. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I present to you that Jesus is your Redeemer. And as we endure with joy, we do it because our Redeemer has done it. And as he endured with joy, he gives us opportunity into the family of God. If you are here this morning and you are not a believer, my plea to you in Jesus' name is this: come to the Redeemer. Apart from the Redeemer, you are outside of the family of God and will die in your sins, as Jesus himself said it. But if you will come and humble yourself at the cross, at the old rugged cross, Jesus Christ will save your soul. But he only saves those who come to him. He will not save those who reject his call to follow him by faith and to live in holiness. Do you want to be saved? Come to Jesus. He is the Redeemer. And may I read and close with this phrase one more time. "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a Redeemer. May his name be renowned among his people. Let's pray together. Father, we say, blessed be the Lord. You have given us a Redeemer. You have given us the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you as you allow us to endure with joy, that you change us from the inside out. We pray, Lord, draw souls to the cross. Use us to demonstrate the great hope that there is in the Redeemer of Jesus Christ. Make us new, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.